Welcome to the Neighboring Well podcast, where we explore and celebrate deep connection with those around you. This is episode 7, and today we are going to talk about the art of being cozy. Figured it's getting closer to fall, so it's kind of a good topic for everyone.
Yes, and it was actually cold. I had to put a cardigan on today when I walked outside, so.
Yeah, it's been thunderstorming like all morning. I love it.
So it's a perfect topic. And we wanted to start out with a little bit of a definition just for those of you that aren't quite sure how to wrap your head around this word. It's a Danish word, hygge. And I think we've heard it a lot. We've heard this in a lot of different scenarios, podcasts, movies. So this is a quote by Judith Friedman Hansen. And it says, to be in a situation characterized by hygge is to be in a state of pleasant well-being and security with a relaxed frame of mind and an open enjoyment of the immediate situation and all its small pleasures. It is a state one achieves most often with close members of one's social network, with one's family, extended family, and friends. So I think that's a good kind of definition to get us started. And
yeah.
One of the main things about this that we wanted to start with was just that fall tends to invite us to slow down as we're getting ready for winter and coziness and cold weather. So what does that make you think of? What does this kind of slowing down remind you of?
I have been listening to a book that my mother-in-law recommended to me that talks a lot about just living in a way that we're listening to what our bodies need. And it goes into a lot about, like, especially like women's bodies and how they work on, instead of like a 24-hour cycle, they work on a monthly cycle. Mm-hmm. And it kind of also touches on just an overall idea that people have different phases of spring, summer, winter, fall that they go through in their lives. And that can last like several years. It can be a very short cycle. It kind of just depends on like you and what you have going on. But I feel like it was such a life-changing, it was just one of those like moments where I was like, wow, I don't need to feel guilty for slowing down. Like I listened to that book and then later that day, I was just feeling super stressed and like overwhelmed with a bunch of things that I needed to do. And it was just one of those days that I was just tired and just didn't feel like I could really get anything done.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to make myself a cup of herbal tea and I'm going to lay on the couch with a blanket and turn all the lights off and listen to this book. And I'm not going to feel guilty about it. And if I don't get things done, that's okay. And like, just doing that gave me so much more like inspiration to start things the next day.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this actually is so cool that allowing myself to just feel what I'm feeling and to just slow down is making me tune into what I really need. And I'm empowering myself because my body is able to take the time that it needs to do the things that it needs, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think when you think of fall, you can see it all around us in nature. I mean, the leaves start falling off the trees and that's just a reminder, what things do you need to start cutting out of your life? You know, mm-hmm. Are there thoughts you need to change? Are there habits you need to let go of? Sometimes I get to the point where I look around my house and there's just too much stuff. Mm-hmm. Even if it's clean and orderly, you know, it's just like too much stuff. And so maybe cleaning out some space in your physical space just seems so natural. And also the sun isn't quite as intense. You have less light, less warmth. And so everyone naturally starts kind of changing their home environment and and their spaces. It makes me think of just this week, we've been trying to rearrange our dining room to fit more people and it just didn't feel right. You know, every time you went in, it just like felt kind of off. And mm-hmm. I wanted it to be a place where when people came, or even just when our family was eating, people wanted to stay and linger after the meal was done.
Yeah.
And we had a table that had wood benches, you know, so you can fit a lot of people, but it's not necessarily comfortable to hang around. So we moved that table out to the deck, and that room's just empty right now. So we kind of moved some benches in that were upholstered, like we had some old church pews, not that we were going to keep them in there, but just because we needed to see in that space what we wanted. So we had this long padded church pew in there. And then I just put up a folding table just to mark off some space. And I walked in Sunday after dinner, and because we've been eating out on the deck. And so I walked into the house, and a couple kids were on screens and people were all spread out. And I just thought, what can I do to make them come back together? So I grabbed a book. It was a biography, and just started, I sat on the pew and just started reading. And then I had some kids bring in some drawing stuff they were working on, and some brought in blankets and laid on the bench. And I just read for maybe an hour, and they just kind of were gathered there. Not everybody came, but several of my kids came in. And I thought, this is kind of the feeling I'm going for, where I'm telling the story. I have kids doing different things with their hands, but they're all listening. And it was dark outside, so the lights were lower in the house. And that's kind of what I think of when I think of hygge.
Yeah. No, that's, I feel like that's totally spot on, because I mean, these church benches, I've seen them. They're not the most comfortable looking benches.
No, and they're like bright orangish red.
They're like bright orange. They're like really ugly.
Yeah.
And they're like typical church pew, and so, and a folding table. So it's, I think it really just kind of illustrates, you don't need the most cozy stuff. You don't need to go to Target and buy all of the pillows and all of the blankets and all of the candles, you know, like
and the 100 different pumpkins that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's fun, but you don't need that in order to achieve what you're going for. You know, you can, I think the most important part is just, what can I like physically do right now that would invite people to come sit by me and, you know.
Yeah. And connect. So this episode's going to be a little bit more focused on, you know, family or close friends that you're going to have more often at your house during the season. It can also include other people you invite in, but I think it's more of the routine people that you're wanting to learn to connect better with, especially with the struggle with screens. That's always the struggle. So, so let's start with slowing down. I think one of the first things we were talking about was stories, how important stories are, not just reading a story, but also the stories you tell by the things you place in your home, or the stories that you tell your kids about your growing up years. So let's talk a little bit about that, with the slowing down and using stories.
Yeah. I think one of the coolest things that I've noticed about homes that like I walk in and feel just cozy, even if it's like not a super, you know, nice house or whatever, is I love when they have like a book laying around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because people are drawn to stories, you know?
Yes.
And so there's so many things, like think about like if you go to your grandma's house, a lot of times there's stories behind the things in her house. You know, there's stuff that she's had for a while. Or even like as a kid, I remember grandma's toys that she kept in her closet were like way cooler than our toys.
Right.
But I think it was because there were stories to them, like, oh, mom and dad used to play with this, or, oh, this is like grandma's special toy that she keeps in her closet that I only get to see at grandma's house. Like there's something special about that, having items around your house that remind you of, you know, things in your life or things that make you happy.
Yeah. So for example, if I say the name Mary Lou, what does that remind you of?
Oh no.
We have my grandma, Kaylee's great grandma, had this doll called Mary Lou, and it was maybe like 3 feet tall, like a big doll.
It's very and scary.
It would sit in the corner of the bedroom, like the guest bedroom. And over the years, like, her hair was falling out. She'd lost, you know, different things on her body. She'd been through a lot of grandkids. And so she just became this family joke. We couldn't get rid of her. I mean, even though she terrified every grandkid that walked in there, you couldn't get rid of her.
She might as well have been Chucky. I mean, really.
Yeah. It was just so funny. But even something like that is so endearing. You know, before my grandma died, my uncle was living with her. And it was just kind of a joke of who was going to get Mary Lou in the will. You know, it was. But something cursed. Like, yeah, something like that even, which just seems funny. You wouldn't necessarily think of Huga with this creepy doll, but you say that name to anyone in our family, they all know who it is and they'll all laugh, and it kind of just bonds us together. So just having intentional things in your home that have a family story attached to it, or that's just like, remember we got this thing on this vacation, and it inspires you to talk about that memory. Those kind of things just really connect families, I think.
Yeah, no, and it really makes me think about, there's so many things I feel like that people do and like bring into their homes that inspire me to like create memories, you know?
Yeah.
And so maybe like thinking about like, oh, what can I bring into my home this fall that will become one of those items that will have stories, you know, even just like, this is the blanket we use when we read fall books together, or, you know, this is the little thing that we do in the fall. My husband and I always watch Harry Potter in the fall, and he's not a Harry Potter fan. I think he's converting, but
he's a Kaylee fan. So
yeah. So he sits along with me and he's starting to enjoy the movies, but that's something that we've always done. And so it's always been kind of a fun thing to do. And this time around, there's, Harry Potter movies in the theater, and they're like doing a rerun of like Return to Hogwarts, and they're like $5 to go see. But it's made me realize how much I really do love watching that like in my home, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's so cool to see them in the theaters, but every once in a while I'm like, okay, we need to watch one at home though, because I miss that fall tradition. And it's not like I had to go buy anything or, you know, but it's just something that I look forward to every fall. Like, okay, it's time that we get to cuddle up and, you know, watch a cozy movie together in our house. So.
Well, and so maybe part of slowing down is pulling out those things and setting them in places that people are going to notice. Maybe you have books, family books or favorites that you pull out and you lay on certain tables. And so when someone walks by, they notice it, like, oh, I remember this book, and they pick it up. Also, I think pictures can do a lot for helping you slow down. On Sunday, we were sitting around. Actually, no, I guess it was Monday. We were sitting as a family, and I pulled up on our TV screen just old family videos and pictures. And we just started laughing and remembering. And I think that's a good way to slow down, is you don't even have to say, hey guys, come in, we're going to watch family pictures. I don't know if your kids, those that are listening, are like mine, but if they all of a sudden hear some video pop up, they all come running like they're missing out on this video. So you just go in the room and you airplay to your TV these videos and pictures, and people will start gathering and laughing and telling stories. And I think that's another great way to slow down and just be with the people that are present in that moment.
Yeah. Well, and it's such a good example too of like how to use screens for good, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like it's so hard sometimes, especially when it gets cold outside, to not just like sit inside on a screen, because you're like, oh, it's cold, I don't really feel like going outside. And so like finding a way that you can include other people when you're doing that is really cool.
Yeah.
I think what we should do is, we've got a couple points we wanted to cover, and one of them we wanted to cover was just about like simplicity in like decor. I think we should skip to that one and then come back to the next one, because we're kind of moving that way anyway. But one thing, I was listening to this book, and it was called, let me find it. It was really cute. It was one of those where I was listening to it on Spotify, but the cover on Spotify was so cute that I was like, oh, I need to listen to this. It's called The Little Book of Hygge, Danish Secrets to Happy Living. And it's like really cool. It talks about Denmark is like one of the happiest countries, and people are trying to figure out why that is. And they are coming up with all these different things that they do that, you know, can contribute to that. And one of the things is hygge, and like the art of just connecting and being present in where you are and just enjoying it. And one of the things I thought was so, so funny was these people in Denmark go through more candles than any other country, like by a lot. Like they are number one, and then number two is like half as much as candles they are. And so it's this thing. They have like, I wish I could remember the exact fact, but they have like data on exactly how many candles on average Danish people go through per year.
Wow.
And they said about 60% of Danish people say that they light a candle every day. And I was like from fall to whenever it gets warm again outside.
Yeah.
And they did talk a little bit about the soot that is actually kind of a problem because of how much candles are being lit.
Oh my gosh.
And it's worse there than like smoking inside.
Because... So you're like, maybe choose your candles wisely.
Yeah.
Less toxic candles might be better.
Right, right.
But that's what grandma does. Grandma, you know, if you go into her house, she has a candle always on her kitchen counter burning. So you walk in and you immediately have that smell. And
she just,
I think you kind of, it's nostalgic. You know her house. You walk in, you're like, ah, it's grandma's. Yeah. She's burning a candle, you know.
Well, and you know, it's so funny. I feel like in America, we do the candles mostly for smell, right? We're like, oh, we want it to smell good.
Yeah.
There they do it for literally just for the look and for like what kind of feeling it invokes.
Interesting.
Just having a candle lit. And so like they, you know, you could even light just a plain soy candle that has no smell in it. And that's just something they love doing. I have this where I work. I work at this little interior design firm and showroom. And we have this candle that is about, it's the size of a large cooking pot.
oh my gosh.
It's really like, it is huge. And it burns every single day. It's like part of our opening up and closing is we light the candle and then, you know, unlight the candle.
Snuff out.
Yeah. And so it lasts, I think, from when we open to close every single day for several months. And it's just one of those things that's so fun. People walk in and it's a conversation starter because it's
like so big,
a foot and a half tall and like a foot wide.
Do you put it like right in the entryway? Where do you keep
it? Yeah, it's right on our front desk. It's just
so that kind of seems like really symbolic, though, because if you think about your rituals that you have to open and close a day, those are important, especially in the fall and winter. What does your closing of the day look like? Are you all gathered reading? Is everyone at different activities? And so you have to be more creative when they get home to try to connect before everyone goes to bed. And then when you get up in the morning, are people leaving at different times? So you have to figure out a way to start that morning ritual together.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where you start. You start thinking, okay, what are our natural rhythms in the day and our rituals? And how can we make those more of a time for connection?
Yeah. And well, and I think that's kind of why I wanted to bring up this idea of candles, is because it's a piece of your home that requires you to interact with it, you know? And so I love that idea because it's one of those things that you can do. It's kind of like the same feeling as like baking a really fun fall treat. You know, it's something, it's a part of your home. It's creating a smell. It's creating an environment, but it's also something that's requiring you to interact with it. And I think that can always invite people, you know, movement and like interacting with the things in your space is something that always invites people to kind of come closer.
Yeah. And fireplaces so, kind of do that also. If you, yes. you know, are fortunate enough to have a fireplace, when you turn on the fire or light the fire, people kind of naturally gather around that spot.
Yeah. I've got a friend that every day when her little kids go to sleep, she makes a batch of cookie dough that's just enough for one person. So it seriously is like one little egg, one little teaspoon of, you know, whatever, a couple tablespoons of flour, and like makes this little batch of cookie dough and eats it while her little kids are asleep. And I think that's the cutest thing, because it's like, I don't know. I feel like that's one of those things where it's like you're interacting, you're creating these little, you know, fun rituals for yourself and fun habits. And they're things that is so simple. You know, you don't need to go out and buy a bunch of things. And it's kind of just, even in like this topic of like connecting with people, it's just one of those things that you can use to connect with yourself and kind of like, you know, create memories for yourself, even of like fall and slowing down and just enjoying life and just being in the moment, you know?
Yeah. Just having joy in some small, simple ritual that you do every night. And that makes me think, what do I do? Are there things that I do? I mean, I love to study, so reading's big for me, but I don't always include my kids. Since we homeschool, I feel like I'm with them a lot during the day and we read. And so sometimes at night, everyone talks about, you know, gathering around and reading a story. And sometimes in my mind, I'm thinking, I've been doing that all day. Like I need a different nightly ritual, except when it gets to be October, we have this really great book.
Is it like Grimm Brothers kind of vibe?
It's just like all the classic ghost stories. That's what it is. Classic ghost stories. And so it's ones from famous authors, and it's in this kind of really fun black bound book with a spider on the front. So we set that out in October, and every night we read one of those stories. And so that one actually we do really enjoy, just because it's, most of the stories are more like cliffhangers, not really like horror. You know, I'm not a big horror person, but they're kind of cliffhangers or just like leave you wondering. And so we do read those, and that's definitely a tradition we have.
Yeah. No, I love it. I think one of the other things I thought was so cool, I was listening to a podcast this week on Huga, and this lady was interviewing an interior designer about, you know, what it really means and like what that means in her line of work, creating home and stuff. And one of the things she said was she works with her clients to help them. She'll ask them like first, like starting out, what are the happy moments that you've had in your home? Like think back to happy moments you've had in your home. What were you doing? What were you holding? What were you around? What did it look like? When you remember it, what's like the images or the, you know, smells that you remember? And then she tries to create a design for them that includes those things so that they're always around.
Oh, interesting.
And I was like, wow, that is so powerful. Like, how can we do that? Especially when it's, you know, a time of like slowing down and reconnecting with people. How can we decorate our homes in a way that inspires us to, or like reminds us of the good times, you know, like the good memories or the happy moments, right, in our house. And so I think there's a lot of ways people do that. And sometimes it's by you know, things that they pull out every fall. And sometimes it's like activities that they do every fall. Sometimes it's just certain people that you always have over, you know? And so.
Well, and it kind of makes me think about that sometimes they don't have to be happy memories necessarily. Like sometimes really mm-hmm. hard things are core memories that actually make you feel like home. It makes me think of when my dad was, he was having brain surgery. He had cancer, and a bunch of my brothers and sisters and I met at a hotel that was not near us because he was having surgery in Seattle, and that wasn't near most of us. So we either had to drive there or fly there. We all met in this hotel, and my one brother who couldn't be there wanted to do something to like be with us. So he ordered cheesecake for everybody. I mean, I'm talking about like more cheesecake than you could ever imagine. We had every flavor possible, probably from the Cheesecake Factory. And he had it delivered to our hotel. And so as brothers and sisters, we sat around the table, all just taking little bites and trying all different cheesecakes and talking about, you know, memories with my dad and just funny things, what was going on in everyone's life. And mm-hmm. I mean, you're in a hotel, doesn't have the best decorations.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily cozy. Most of us were sitting on the floor around a coffee table. And it is like a really important memory for me that just brings back some thoughts of love within my family. We were all praying together, you know, for my dad that his surgery would go well. And those thoughts of praying, sharing a meal or food together, and just talking, all are elements that remind you of, you know, this love or connection you have. So I think sometimes mm-hmm. the memory doesn't even have to be based around something positive, but just something positive that came from that experience.
Yes. Yeah.
Or when I think of candles, there's a friend of mine. Well, I guess it was someone we watched on Instagram, but whenever she lit a candle, she lit it for someone in particular. So somebody that was having a really hard time or maybe going through a health struggle or a personal struggle, they would light the candle and leave it lit. And every time they passed, they would think of that person and either pray for them, or they would think of something they could do for them. And so the candle wasn't just for the light and warmth, but it also was to remind them of a specific person. I think that's such a good idea. There's always somebody, you know, that's struggling with something. So maybe part of those candles in your home are lighting them for people, and just as a reminder, you know, of people that mean something to you and what they're going through.
Yeah, no, I love that. I feel like it's really, I don't know, there's something about things that you do consistently that can bring that sort of comfort, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of those things, like sometimes I'll wake up, and especially when it's fall, and like this morning it was like thunderstorming. Like it was one of those mornings where I woke up and there was like thunder and lightning, like crazy. And so I ran on, Bryson's like, hurry, we got to go outside before the thunder stops and we got to go watch it. And so I think just like, I don't know, just kind of taking advantage of the little things that come along, having things that you do consistently, and then also, you know, being flexible when different things happen in the weather or different, you know, things come up, and you're able to just jump on it and go, you know, do something that's spontaneous. I think that's such a cool part of like slowing down, is you're able to be more that way.
Yeah, there's so many good ideas. I mean, you can look anywhere on the internet and find good ideas of ways to connect during this fall season, whether it's like fireside chats, book clubs.
Mm-hmm.
I always think of our friends in Missouri that was at Halloween night when after everyone had gone trick-or-treating, our friend would take the kids and go on a midnight walk. Everyone had flashlights and we were out in the country. Was that Halloween?
I don't know.
I think it was Halloween.
I kind of vaguely remember that.
Yeah, so it was always fun. She would always text me every year, hey, are your kids still up for the, I can't remember, she said midnight walk or moonlight walk. And the kids, you know, would love it, you guys, because you got to stay up later than normal. And everyone would just bring either a lantern or a flashlight, and you would just walk down the country road. It was, our neighborhood was like a country neighborhood kind of thing. So it wasn't like you're out on a main road or anything, but they would walk down the gravel road and just kind of talk and walk back. And then that was it. I mean, it maybe took 30 minutes, but it was such a fun tradition in the fall. And especially if Halloween's not your thing, you know, if you'd rather do more fall activities than the Halloween thing, that was a really fun one on Halloween night to just take a walk with your flashlights. Once everyone, all the trick-or-treaters are gone and it's just quiet, you know. And so I thought that was really fun.
Thinking another activity that I've done in the past that's always been fun, growing up as a kid and even into my married life, is once it is fall, I enjoy going out into the wilderness a little bit more than I do like other seasons. And so we would always go out and we'd build forts out of sticks. And my husband and I went and did that, I think last fall on our anniversary. We went out on a hike somewhere and built a little like teepee out of sticks and just sat in it and talked for a while. And it was like off of a little bit off of the trail, but close enough that like when people came by, we would just like say hi to them and stuff. And that's one thing that, you know, it seems a little bit harder to get outside when it's cold, but it's definitely worth it when you've got something fun to do, like build a little fort or go apple picking or, you know, go on a late night walk, things like that.
Yeah. And I think I want to end with this quote. It's by Simone Weil and it says, "Attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity." And I think that's kind of one of the main points, is giving people your attention, the people that are closest to you, the people that you see on a daily basis, and gathering them and planning some meaningful time to connect with them and feel safe and cozy and just letting yourself transition into this next season.
I love it. I think that's great. Definitely something that we can move forward into the next season just thinking about, and doesn't take much, just kind of noticing the people around you and, you know, taking a minute to say hi, talk to them, smile. So
light a candle.
Yeah.
All right. Happy fall, everyone. See you next week.